from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jordan Love is going to join them. That question of is he going to get a deal really does not need to be answered. Just listening to the words of general manager Brian Gutekunst, it's really just a matter of how much, and does he become the highest paid? Does he eclipse Joe Burrow if he gets a long-term deal? Maybe if it's a little bit of a shorter deal, money comes down a little bit, gets another bite at the apple much quicker. There's a couple different ways to figure out this deal, and it does sound like they are not there yet. But for the Packers, they're going to have to practice without Jordan Love in the meantime. That is an okay problem, because the bigger questions are on their way to getting answered.
Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, always mixing them up. On Jordan Love, Nate said in the break he did some math, which I'm very excited to get to. I'm always excited for math. But first, on that, was this a good thing for Green Bay? Did this go well for them? They're about to pay Jordan Love. Doesn't that sound like they're about to make him the highest paid quarterback in football?
It does sound a lot like that.
They're going to give him, what, $56 million a year? Was this a good thing? They found their quarterback again, but they bypassed the whole rookie deal.
Yeah.
Like, isn't part of the... I don't think it's true that you can only win a Super Bowl when your quarterback's on a rookie deal, but... It's definitely,
they did miss out on that opportunity.
Right. Like, yeah. You get a benefit of when that's how the Dolphins have been a playoff team for the last 2 years. It's not because Tua's great, it's because Tua's great when you're only paying him $9 million a year and you're able to then go pay Tyreek Hill $32 million a year or whatever. Like, Green Bay is just saying, nah, we're good. We don't need to have. But what were they supposed to do in hindsight? Should they have moved on from Rodgers earlier?
I think they didn't. They try.
He was just winning MVPs.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't part of the plan. Was they drafted Jordan Love in 2020 and thought maybe one more year of Rodgers, but then he won back-to-back MVPs.
And what are you supposed to do with that? Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that their plan did get interrupted here, but it is just worth pointing out that, okay, yeah, they did a good job. They found their quarterback, but that's a useful window for any team when you find your quarterback is get – built. Look at the Texans. The Texans with Diggs and Joe Mixon. Those are not responsible moves. They traded for a running back that's almost 30 and gave him a contract.
Mm-hmm.
They traded a second-round pick for 1 year of 31-year-old Stephon Diggs. Those are not smart moves, but they're able to afford doing it because C.J. Stroud's making
$4 million. Right. Yeah, whatever he's making.
And the Packers just basically never are going to get that because Love's already into the big deal.
Yeah, they gave Joe Mixon 3 years, $25.5 million.
That's insane.
It's essentially a two-year deal because they have an out, but, you know.
That's still insane.
His cap hit this year is 5.5. His cap hit next year is 9.5 at 30.
Yeah, that's, man. Just do anything else. Do anything cheaper at running back. Anyways, what sort of math did you do did you do during the break?
So what I decided to do is get Allen's average rushes per game before Brady.
Okay.
And then after Brady took over. And then I also went through each of the games from New York to Miami and looked at the run-pass ratio, and I pulled out Allen runs.
Okay.
Gave you an average without Allen runs.
Okay.
I gave you an average if you took out the Dallas game, rushes uh-huh. per game, if that comes out. And then also Allen rushes when they go back in. So the ratio of pulling Allen's rushes out so that you get an actual picture of what their run-pass ratio looks like from a traditional perspective, just turning around, handing the ball off to a running back like teams normally do. And that's what every team's essentially dealing with other than what? The Ravens, the Bills, mm-hmm. Philadelphia, well, I'd say 95% of the league is not having their quarterback rush the ball purposely more than two times a game. So, like, to actually give you what their run-pass ratio is against the league. So, before Brady took over, Allen averaged 4.8 rushes per game. Now, remember, there was this conscious effort to pull him out of the run game.
Yep.
So Brady takes over. That number goes from 4.8 rushes per game to 9 rushes per game. More than doubled his average rushes per game. In the Jets game, it was 32 passes versus 33 rush. So about 50-50 if you pull Allen's rushing attempts, which were 5 in that game. Philadelphia, 51 pass versus 31 run. 9 rushes by Allen in that game. Kansas City, 42 pass, 18 rush. And I bet you that comes as a bit of a surprise to people because Josh Allen had 10 rushing attempts in that game.
Yeah.
Dallas, 15 versus 41. 8 of them were Josh Allen. They had 49 rushing attempts in that game. The Chargers, 21 pass versus 25 rush with 5 by Allen. So 30 total in that game. New England, 30 versus 26. Miami, 38 versus 21. Allen had 15 rushing attempts in that Week 18 matchup against the Dolphins. So the average without Allen rushes per game last season was 27.8 attempts per game. So they averaged 32.7 passes per game.
Yeah.
So they still were a 32 versus 27 pass during Joe Brady's time as the interim offensive coordinator if you remove Josh Allen's rushing attempts. If you add Josh Allen's rushing attempts in there, it goes to 36, or no, I'm sorry, right? Is that right? Average with Allen. Yeah, it goes from 27 attempts per game to 36 attempts per game. So almost 10 more rushes per game you're adding to their average attempts per game just by adding Josh Allen's in there. So they go from being a 32 pass to 27 run ratio to 32-36 when you add Josh Allen. Take out the Dallas game. They go from an average of 27.8 attempts per game to 25. It's not as much as you would think of a difference. So they dropped essentially two attempts per game.
So one more time. If you take the Dallas game out,
they dropped 2 yards or 2 attempts per game.
And that's it?
That's it.
Okay.
So it's not huge. It doesn't do a ton.
So what you're saying is the Dallas game
is an outlier. I mean, it's by far their most rushing attempts in a game. Their next closest is the Jets, 33 rushes.
Right.
But they've got more games of 30 plus pass attempts than they do of 30 plus rush attempts, even if you add in Allen's rushing attempts.
Okay. And also to summarize in that is they definitely decided we need to start running the ball with Allen more.
Yes.
That happened.
And my question will be, can they exist the way they did in the second half of last season if they go back to Allen averaging 4.8 rush attempts per game? Because I think that's where they want to be.
Okay. You think they want to go back
all
the way, though, to that?
Yes.
The only thing, I wonder if they learned a lesson of, Leslie Frazier talked about this last year when he did some media on a podcast. Like there were other comments made, too, that the Bills are just so much easier to defend when you don't have worry about Allen running.
They need to start preserving that running ability until November. December.
Okay, that's not bad. I don't mind that, and you kind of see how games are going too, and you see how you be mature with it. You be smart about it. I am getting closer and closer though to he's 27, and I don't know how much longer he'll be able to run like this. Just unleash it.
Just
as long as you have it, just let's go. Run it as much as he wants. Because he is a truck. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Kyler Murray. I'm not worried about Josh Allen getting hit by safeties. Safeties are more worried about getting hit by Josh Allen more often. But I do think it's still prudent to say, okay, early in the season, you dial it back. Early in games, you dial it back. Maybe you mix it in once in a while, and if you get to the second half of games, it's really close. They've done this against the Chiefs, right? How many times have they called QB power in a big situation against the Kansas City Chiefs? They've done it.
They have.
They've done it a bunch. So
he ran the ball 10 times, his third most rushing attempts of the season against Kansas City. Okay. New England had 11, and Miami, he had 15 in a game that was, the season was on the line.
Season was on the line. Yep. I do think that part of this is curious, too, because I've often said I think they ran the ball last year when Brady took over because they didn't think they had the horses to throw the ball as much as they wanted. And maybe they also ran the ball with Allen more because they knew we don't have enough working here on offense. So we kind of need this. We need this element. And was part of their plan this offseason, hey, can we design an offense where we don't need him to run it? Shouldn't that always kind of be the goal? To have that in your back pocket is more of a bonus than a staple.
If they and I would expect this to increase this year, is if they're a team that's going to rely heavily on RPO, which I think they will, the threat will always be there for Josh Allen to run the football. And it'll be his decision in RPO situations if him running the football makes sense. Because if he doesn't get rid of it on the first read, that's really how those plays are designed. He can't hold on to the football when the offensive linemen are running downfield thinking, and a run pass option, here's the difficult part about a run pass option, is if you don't hand it off, you've got to throw it to the who the play is designed to go to. There's typically one route.
Yeah.
For a while, it was the slant to Diggs. That was really their only play out of RPO. And Joe Brady came in at midseason and changed it up a little bit. And they had a little wrinkle to that play. Mm-hmm. And maybe now you add a flat route with Dawson Knox. But because that play is so quick and you're reading the linebacker, because if he's coming up, then you're pulling and throwing. If he drops back into coverage, you're handing the ball off. To add a second layer, to add a second element in the pass game, and that's really difficult because, again, in the RPO, the run-pass option, your offensive linemen are blocking like it's a run, meaning they're getting upfield.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you've got that, 4 or 5 yard buffer that if your offensive lineman's 4 or 5 yards down the field, they're going to call too many men down the field. So that's what makes that play difficult, but it also is probably the one play that is about as undefensible of a play that the Bills with Josh Allen have in their repertoire. And it becomes more difficult to defend when you have a player like James Cook who is effective. James Cook's the one guy on this roster that can break a run for 80, 90 yards. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely in the back of minds of defenders and defensive coordinators when they're playing the Bills and trying to defend RPO.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, how much of Allen's athleticism is really necessary to make their offense tick. Because we've seen how important... In what ways has his ability to run made this whole thing go? His rushing, just as a play they could have, right? To call at any moment where he's averaging 6 yards a carry minimum. The scrambles he has when a play isn't there. Receivers aren't open down the field. And, he just takes off for 15 yards. Just like that. Easy. Even plays he doesn't take off and run. How many times has he saved linemen from getting roasted by fans, or I'm sure coaches would do it anyway, but fans especially because, Allen got you out of the sack. There is, in the 13-second game, before the game becomes what it became, They have a 4th and 4 on that drive. Maybe there's like 3 minutes left, going off the top of my head, like 3 or 4 minutes left. And Allen has got a 4th and 4. And on this play, you know, kind of season on the line. Like, you don't know that you're going to get the ball back from Kansas City after that with the ability to score. They might just run the clock out. And it's 4th and 4. And as cleanly as you've ever seen off the snap, Melvin Ingram toasts Spencer Brown. Goes right around him. Within a second, Ingram is into the backfield. Allen, by the way, had stepped up in the pocket. Like, he was about to kind of step up, and that's where Ingram went. And Allen juke moved in the pocket around Ingram, pump faked another guy, and ran for the first down. That's him rushing. That is him making your line look better than it is. Because, no, I guess I remembered it, but no one remembers that for Spencer Brown. Their season almost ended because of Spencer Brown. As a rookie, and, you know, unpolished rookie too, because remember his profile, like 7-on-7, mm-hmm. you know, in college. But Spencer Brown got beat cleanly, and no one remembers it because Josh Allen made up for it. And how many times has he done that? How many times has he eliminated a sack because he's the hardest man to bring down? He's always had that awareness. You know, he does not take sacks. He always feels pressure. So that element of it is, how much has their red zone offense been benefited by his ability to run?
A lot.
I mean, for 5 years, has anything about their red zone offense worked since he's been their quarterback, other than him running? What's their second best play in the red zone for the last 5 years?
Getting the ball to Dawson Knox.
Okay, that might be right. Is that, like, prolific, though?
No.
Like, it's fine. He had a season where he had, like, 9 touchdowns. But is it prolific? Like, Allen running is their red zone offense. Allen running makes up for their offensive line. Allen running is their 4th down go-to play. Like, it's just so much. It's so much of their offense. And that's what makes them great. His ability to throw on the run also, by the way, scrambling out of the pocket. Like, I don't know if Allen, as much as Allen's mobility is respected, if it's even respected enough. Because it affects every part of their offense. Every single part of their offense. And that's why, like, I'm very much in the camp of just ride it while you have it. Because someday, hopefully he'll be an elite pocket passer still by then, and he'll be able to still win games. But someday he's not going to be able to do all that.
Isn't that part of the reason why it's frustrating that it feels like they're going through a transition in this current window?
A little bit. I don't know if you can avoid it, though.
Yeah, they might not be able to avoid it. I guess that to me is just what, that's what I sit here and say, like, man, it sucks that they just don't have elite weapons
yep.
this year, because it feels like you're not going to
sure.
get, you just have this window.
I mean, that is, for the weapons part of it, that's why they should have been drafting receivers for the last 3 years.
Yes.
That's why they shouldn't have waited until this season to draft Keon Coleman. 2 years ago, they should have already been, and you want to say forcing a pick, drafting for need? Yes. Because, okay, congratulations, you took best player available. Look where you're at. You don't know what you are with Allen throwing the football. And you should have never allowed yourself to get to that point. But hey, they're here now. They're here now, and now you've got to hope that a rookie is ready to show up right away, rather than having that information already. Having the information of you had traded up for Jordan Addison or Zay Flowers last year and you knew how good they were. Or you had drafted Christian Watson a couple of years ago instead of Kyrie Elam. He was the next receiver off the board. It would have been a little bit of a reach, but whatever. You would have known what you have.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They decided to fill other needs and continue to do other things. And now here we're at where, like, a lot of the, you know, how open is their window? How much of a transition year are they in? It's mostly just receiver. They're really not that different in many other areas. Like, offensive line, they're fine. I've talked about their defense, that I feel pretty comfortable about their defense almost on every level. Just edge position is the only thing you're looking for still. Tight end, of course, they're fine. Like, it's just receiver. That's it. But they're in a transition year at that position, and that's a huge position to be in a transition year at. 803-0550 is the phone number. Did you ever watch Untold on Netflix? Like the sports documentaries that they did?
Yeah.
There was a Manti Te'o one.
Yep, I do remember that one, yep.
So they just announced that their next three that they're going to do this fall. Three new sports stories that they're going to go into and do documentaries on. Netflix is Untold. Did you see this?
Is it the dude from Washington?
Okay, no. What dude from Washington?
I meant not Washington, Michigan.
Yeah, that's one of them.
The coach?
That's one of them. One of them is Connor Stallions. Connor Stallions will have his side.
Thank God. I was really trying to hear that side. Yeah.
So there's a Connor Stallions documentary coming out. There's a Hope Solo against U.S. Soccer. There was a scandal there. And then the other one, they are doing a documentary on the murder of Steve McNair.
That's
going to be a heavy one.
That's actually an interesting one.
I'm sure, and I don't know anything about that story other than he died tragically in 2009. So we'll see on that front, but those are the three that are coming out. You're not into the Connor Stallions one?
No, I don't really care about him.
Why not? He's a huge Michigan fan. He's not going to say anything disparaging about Michigan.
Is he not? I mean, they fired him.
I think he was in the crowd, though, wearing Michigan gear at the national championship, wasn't he? Or maybe at the semifinal?
Yeah.
He was at one of those games. They found him in the crowd wearing Michigan gear.
Of course they did.
Like,
I don't care about that. No, I don't care about that at all.
I'm going to come in guns blazing the next day, ready to take away banners. 803-0550 is the phone number. Paul in Buffalo wants to get in. What's up, Paul?
Where do you guys rank Dalton Kincaid in all NFL offensive weapons, you know, taking out quarterbacks, so tight ends, receivers, and running backs? Is he a? I'm not a huge NFL guy. Just
you're saying for the whole league.
Is he a top 40 offensive weapon? Is he a top 50? Is he better? I don't even know.
Thanks. This is a good question. I mean,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No. Right? Let me ask it this way. For this offense right now, it's a fantasy league, you know, there's no human emotions involved, whatever. How many tight ends would you rather have on this offense for Josh Allen right now today? You'd rather have Travis Kelce. I mean, for just this year, like talent level.
Travis Kelce,
Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
Sam LaPorta. We don't need to devolve into that one. George Kittle. No? You take him over George Kittle?
I don't think I would right now, no.
You wouldn't take him over George Kittle.
I would take him over George Kittle. I would take him over George Kittle.
I don't think I would. Would you take him over... Is there another tight end worth this? Would you take him over
Hockenson?
Like,
yeah, I would take him over Hockenson.
Kyle Pitts.
Yes, only because I don't know what Kyle Pitts is in the NFL.
Trey McBride.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so like a couple tight ends, not many. And then how many receivers? How many receivers would you rather have in this offense right now? You'd rather have, I'd rather have two Dolphins receivers.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have two Bengals receivers.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather have two Eagles receivers.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have two Texans receivers.
Two Texans receivers.
Tank Dell and Nico Collins.
Nico Collins. I thought that's where we were going to go with that. I'd rather have Devontae Adams. I'd rather have
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
I'd rather have Michael Pittman Jr.
Sure. Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Even as a rookie? Yeah. Malik Nabers?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's say...
We already said the Eagles. DJ Moore? I'd take DJ Moore.
I would take DJ Moore.
I don't think... Yeah, you know, he might be top 40. I might say I'd take like four or five tight ends and maybe 30 receivers.
So I'd say he's top 40. But he's on the edge.
He actually, I think, kind of nailed with the question Paul did. Like, what is he top 40? I think he might be right around there.
I think he might be too.
Chris Olave? Who do more for this offense right now? Chris Olave or Dalton Kincaid?
Probably Chris Olave.
Part of that, too, for me, I'm almost always going to want to pick the receiver because then I get to go back to 11 personnel.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Dawson Knox being their starting tight end. He's not amazing. He's not one of the best in the league. He's fine. He's a guy. He can block. He can catch. He is a good red zone target when you need him. He's just a fine tight end. I don't feel the need to be better than that at tight end. It's cool when you are better, but if you can give me the stud receiver and I go back to a team with three stud receivers and a fine tight end, I'm perfectly okay with that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Paul, thanks for the call. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Sal's going to come up at 8. First snap draft. Who's going to be on the field for the Bills, their first snap of the season? Training camp starts tomorrow. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.